Do you ever get bogged down and stuck in the monotony of a daily routine to the point that you lose sight of the greater purpose of that routine? I definitely do, and today's reading can give us some hope for when that happens. My name is Ruth Halstead, and I'm a senior at the University of Alabama. I serve in a local church in Tuscaloosa as part of a group of aspiring pastors at Hargrove Memorial Methodist Church, and I will be attending seminary in the fall. So one of the readings for this week comes from Ezekiel 43. Starting with chapter 40 in Ezekiel, Ezekiel is getting this vision, and he's describing the new temple. So the Israelites have been in exile, and eventually it's going to end. It's been promised that it's going to end. And Ezekiel's kind of giving hope. Now, at the beginning, he was lambasting the Israelites a little bit, but now he's giving them some hope. And chapter 43 specifically describes God's glory returning to the temple. Now, what does that exactly mean for us today? Well, I want to start in the second half of chapter 43, and then we'll kind of return to the beginning and see what that looks like. The first half of 43, we've got some beautiful imagery, and we'll come back to that. And then the second half is some really stimulating reading. Starting with verse 13. These are the dimensions of the altar by cubits, the cubit being one cubit and a hand breadth. Its base shall be one cubit high and one cubit wide, with a rim of one span around its edge. This shall be the height of the altar. Now, I could continue, but I'm sure you can read that for yourself. Why would I read that part of it? I think because sometimes cubits and hand breadths are like washing dishes and reading a textbook before class, or grading homework, bringing food to different relatives, things like that, answering emails at your job. How do we go from hand breadths and cubits or dishes and emails to why we're doing that in the first place, right? For me, I'm about a month into school right now, and it's getting to the point where I have a pretty good routine. I wake up, do homework, go to class, do more homework, go to bed. Sometimes I mix it up by going to work. Now that can become pretty mundane and kind of tricky to maintain, and really easy to forget that the whole reason I'm here at the University of Alabama is so that I can learn things. So I can learn things that I can take to seminary, and then take those things into a church, to a local church, and work with the people there and be able to, you know, further spread God's glory and God's love. Now, maybe you've forgotten that going to the grocery store is so you can feed your family and have a nice, peaceful, loving, maybe loud, maybe chaotic time around the table. Maybe you've forgotten that grading that second grader's spelling test is so that they can grow up to be whatever they want to be. Or maybe you've forgotten that answering those 1,700 emails that somehow came in over the weekend is so that other people in your job can do their job easier. Or, you know, your building plant can produce whatever it's producing. It's really easy to get stuck doing this thing or that thing and forget that there's a reason. I told you we'd go back to the beginning. I'm going to read verses 1 through 5. And if you can, if you're in a position to, close your eyes and kind of imagine the situation that Ezekiel is in right now. If you are driving, please don't close your eyes. But otherwise, go ahead and take a moment to visualize this. Now, Ezekiel is being, this is a vision that he's received, and he's being taken by a man and kind of showed around the temple. So verse 1. Then he, that man, brought me to the gate facing east. And there the glory of the God of Israel was coming from the east. The sound was like the sound of mighty waters, and the earth shone with his glory. The vision I saw was like the vision that I had seen when he came to destroy the city, and like the vision that I had seen by the river Kabar, and I fell upon my face. As the glory of the Lord entered the temple by the gate facing east, the Spirit lifted me up and brought me into the inner court, and the glory of the Lord filled the temple. Now that's a little better reading, right? A little more interesting than cubits and handbreadths. But those are all part of the same chapter. They all have the same importance. right? Not exactly. We worry about handbreadths and cubits, about dishes and grading spelling tests, answering emails, because of the glory of the Lord. Now, the glory of the Lord is kind of a weird thing to say, right? There's some imagery of, like, power right here, but there's not really, like, what is the glory of the Lord? Well, it might be your family laughing and all sitting together. It might be that student finally getting something. It might be finally chasing down an email chain and getting it all figured out so that everything that needs to happen can happen, right? It may be getting that small group at church to finally come together, find a time that works for everybody and really mesh as a group so you can learn more about God and love each other really well. Now, whatever the glory of the Lord is for you, we need to remember that and come back to it. We don't want to get stuck in cubits and handbreadths and forget that we're doing it because the glory of the Lord has been there, will be there, and will be there again. Is there and will be there again. We want to remember that the glory of the Lord, His holiness, His wonderfulness, that is why we care about handbreadths and cubits or dishes and emails. So as you go through your week, I want you to pick one thing that is kind of, you know, a handbreadth or a cubit. And do that really well. Do that really well as you remember the glory of the Lord. As you remember the Spirit lifting Ezekiel up, the glory of the Lord filling the temple, shining through the city, the earth shone with His glory. Remember that. And then go back to those handbreadths and cubits. Build a place. Do all the things that need to happen so that the glory of the Lord, His holiness, His wonderfulness is honored and can shine to others. Dear Lord, thank You for Your word. Thank You for the prophets that we can still use their knowledge, their insight, their words today in our lives. Lord, help us to not get stuck in handbreadths and cubits, but instead help us to remember that we are building these things to Your specifications. We're doing these things for You, for the people around us, because of Your glory, Your love, Your holiness, Your wonderfulness. Lord, help us not to get stuck in dishes and emails, but instead to rediscover that purpose and that joy and that passion and that love that You showed us and that we in turn are showing back to You. Lord, help us to be able to see the earth shining with Your glory. As corny as that may sound when you're sitting down writing an email, right? But Lord, help us to really see that and really bring that with us throughout this week. It's in Your name we pray.